Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. On this program, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on this program. We share the Word and we hope that it blesses you today. We like to start the program with a scripture read. This reading is a short one. It's going to come from the Gospel of Mark, and it's being read in the Passion Translation. Mark 8, 27 to 30 goes like this. Then Jesus and his disciples walked to the villages near Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he posed this question to his disciples. Who do the people say that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptizer, others say Elijah the prophet, and still others say you must be one of the prophets. He asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter spoke up, saying, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Then he warned them not to breathe a word of this to anyone. Again, that's Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 30, read in the Passion Translation. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Wanted to remind you, we have all of our podcasts loaded on iTunes. We also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Thanks again for joining us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia. Albemarle High School Jazz Band is hosting their second annual Swing into Spring Benefit Concert on Sunday, March 10th at 7 p.m. at the Jefferson Theater. Proceeds support AHS Jazz Band and their upcoming jazz competition trip. Donations can also be made on the Jefferson Theater event ticketing page. On April 6th from 9 to 12 at Ix Art Park, it's the 6th annual Bow Wow Walk. Mark your calendars now and get ready for this amazing dog walk to benefit the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA. Join the shops at Stonefield for their annual Easter Egg Extravaganza on April 20th from 10 to 12, featuring an Easter egg hunt, portraits with the Easter Bunny, and a photo booth. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation, though you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program today, we have my new friend, Sean Hart. Sean is in this week with the Ravi Zacharias International Ministry, RZIN.org. And what amazing things this organization does. True defenders of the faith. Sean, thanks so much for making time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me out.
We'd like to start the program with sharing a little bit about how you became a follower of Jesus. So if you don't mind, maybe start there and let's see where it goes.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. A little bit of a story that might surprise quite a few people when they first look at me. They don't expect the story you're about to hear. But when I have to start a little bit further back because of the way God used particular people in my life throughout the story. So when I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My parents loved me a lot, but wasn't really taught much about Jesus. And it was when I went to church a couple times with one of my friends, and the same friend of mine, Jamal, and I, we ended up flirting with the idea of going into one of the biggest street gangs in Portland, Oregon. I'm from Portland, and he is now in a gang. He actually went forward, but one of my friends was shot when I was going from eighth grade to ninth grade, and that really kind of scared me. My parents sent me to a school I shouldn't have gone to district-wise, and it scared me enough to not go forward with that lifestyle. So I got out of that, but then I really didn't have anything else to do. So I was living not the best life, but good enough in light of the world's eyes. Mm-hmm. And I was 16 years old, and it was a Young Life ministry. These guys invited me out to this camp, and I heard about Jesus. I had one guy, Steve Petermeyer, who just walked with me and loved me, even though I was an odd kid coming into a pretty in a different, more suburban type school, even though I grew up in the suburbs, but I was engaged in another type of lifestyle. And so I didn't really find a home there, but I bring these points up because I believed enough to go back and tell Jamal. I said, you know, remember a couple times I went to church with you and your mom took me to church and like Jesus, like he's real. And he's like, yeah. Like, don't really want anything to do with that. And so I left that. But then what happened was I had one foot firmly planted in a lot of things of the world. I loved the fact that I could have freedom with my girlfriend, freedom to sell drugs and do drugs and not have that like be a problem. But then I had tried to put my other foot into the Young Life campaigners Bible study type thing, and I wasn't fooling anyone. And so what happened was when I graduated high school and that was gone, I brought one foot over to that side and firmly planted them in the world. I ended up working at a restaurant, got invited to a party with some older waitresses that I wanted to hang out with. Finally I was like, I could be invited out. They ended up putting a pill on my tongue, and that led me in a deep fog of actual drug abuse from, I can't remember exactly what age, but it was right after high school. And from there, I got so tired that partying on the weekends and trying to keep a job during the day, I was in the printing industry for 8 years. And it was during this time I started when I was 18. I was getting worn down. I just couldn't do it anymore. So I just switched from doing some of the harder drugs to then just drinking. And the reason I share all this backstory, and I have to share it, it's necessary to share, even though it's not the easiest thing to revisit, is it was the night that I drank too much. I'd run to the store. I was in a county that I'm not from. We go through there sometimes, but I'm not from that particular county. And I was arrested for driving drunk. They didn't even see me driving drunk. They heard my stereo so loud. They had pulled someone else over. They heard me come around the corner that they actually signaled me over with a flashlight. And I end up going to jail that night. And I'm sitting in my jail cell with a group cell with a bunch of other people. It's a transition cell. So you're only there for a couple hours. And across the cell, I hear my name attached to a bunch of explicitives from someone else. And it says, Sean Hart, I thought you were a goody-two-shoes Christian boy. What are you doing up in jail right now? I look up and it's Jamal. So the reason the backstory is needed, because here God used a non-Christian to ask me a question that would plague me the rest of the night. I was kind of a little bit of a smart aleck, so I got thrown in a cell by myself after educating the police on the use of technology and why I need my phone to get phone numbers out of it. And I sat there with my head on the floor next to a steel toilet for the next probably 6 hours. And had that question reigning in my mind. I thought you were a Christian. And I just thought to myself, what am I doing? I'm 22 years old. And then an image flashed in my mind. It's interesting that I drew this image the first time I met Jamal. It was in the third grade. We were told to draw a picture of what our life would look like. And I had my wife, my kids, my dog, my picket fence, and this image came to my mind. And I think it was a way of God getting my attention, saying, like, you're 22 years old. This is what you envisioned your life being like. How are you doing with that? I thought you were a Christian. I get out that next morning, and a voicemail came up that I had to resave every 14 days. You know, your phone comes up, you need to either resave it or delete it, or it'll be deleted. I'd saved it for, I can't remember the exact timeline, somewhere around 6 to 9 months. And it was the guy who shared the gospel with me, Steve Petermeyer, had called me 6 to 9 months prior. You know, this is 6 years later. After high school, and he's like, hey, Sean, just checking out. I've been praying for you, and I'd love to get together and see how you're doing. I knew I wanted to talk to him, but not yet. It was always not yet, so it was always a resave. It's like I knew I needed to keep that, but I'm not ready yet, because I knew exactly what he was going to tell me. He was the one person in my life that really loved me enough to share the truth about me and the truth about God, and it confronted me, and I knew it was uncomfortable, so I didn't really want to talk yet, but I get out of jail. And I was like, okay, I've got to call him. Cause that came up right when I got out of jail. That was the first thing I turned my phone on. That was a voicemail. It's like, God's like, has to write it in the sky pretty much, right? Like, hello, I'm getting your attention. And so from there, I went to meet with Steve, and from there, he started to take me under his wing and mentor me. And I eventually started leading Young Life, with him. And from there, ended up becoming a international missionary. Went to lived in southern Sudan, lived in the Comoros Islands, and I found the freedom that people speak of, but I didn't have before. And so, since then, I've been able to look back and see it's amazing. Sometimes with what I do now, I get to answer a lot of people's questions, engage with objections, and one of them is like, people just think Christianity is going to be boring. I'm like, you know what, like. Actually, it's been the most exciting life I've ever lived since becoming a Christian. So it's been quite the opposite for me. So as I look back, I'm extremely grateful for God going to great lengths to rescue me and save me from myself. Yeah,
that's a fabulous testimony. And this is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and our special guest today is Sean Hart with the Ravi Zacharias International Ministry, visiting with us. I have so many questions. Let me just take this one. It seems like God hardwired you a certain way. It appears to be kind of an all or nothing type way. That just kind of seems to be what I perceive in you. And it seemed like, you were heading to that gang, and then that didn't work out. And then you were headed to the party scene, and that didn't fill it. And then there you are at this crossroad in your life. And all of a sudden, the hardwiring of all or nothing, it looks like you moved your chips into the right area, and then everything.
Yeah. I've never had someone make that observation about me, but I think you're exactly right. When I get into something, I do tend to throw myself fully into it, doing some ridiculous things in the party scene and throwing myself into it. You're right. And for me, in terms of what I do now, is serving as a evangelist and an apologist, someone who wants to help people think through the questions and why really faith in Jesus is the primary question you need to wrestle with in life. In doing that, it started with a couple students becoming Christians, praying with them, and in that process of them coming to Christ. And I was like, it lit a fire in my heart. I'm like, there's nothing I want to do from here on out except for this. So regardless of what I was going to do, I was working in printing at the time. I'm still working in printing, but working to still share the gospel with people. And then I started working with Sudanese refugees in my free time because I wanted to reach out to people who had a need in my community. So yeah, it's a good observation. Thanks for that.
I just see that in you, and that's what is interesting about the authenticity of your testimony, because again, you try this, you try that, and God makes you a certain way, knowing that when he just comes over in this direction and everything lines up, then we've got something really, really powerful. Before we take the break, I'm going to ask you this. Yeah. Who do you see yourself in the Bible? Like, who else does that sort of line up with? Does anybody kind of come to mind? Because I've got one that
I would have a hard time. I have a hard time likening myself to anyone in the scriptures. One, because... Yeah. I'd love to say Peter, but because it's kind of bold.
Right where I was going.
But man, the things he went through, being crucified upside down. I'd love to say that I would do that, mm-hmm. and I hope that if it ever came to that, I would. Mm-hmm. But that does bring me to the fact that, like, yes, things lined up. That doesn't mean it's been easy. Doesn't mean it's been perfect. And mm-hmm. I think there's a cost to discipleship. There's mm-hmm. a cost that we all have to count in becoming Christians that we have to always reconcile with. Mm-hmm. And so when I tell people about becoming Christians, them considering, tell them, like, don't think that you're going to step into this and everything's just going to be rosy. Everything is going to fall into place. Like, I live the life that I live committed to him regardless of what happens. Mm-hmm. We've been through some hard times. You tell stories from Sudan where we were evacuated, chased out by a tribe with AK-47s and machetes. It was not easy, but it was worth it. And we went back. And I'll not back to that exact area. I'll continue to go for him wherever he calls me. Because like Peter said, like the disciples said, when Jesus said, "Where do you want to go somewhere else?" When these are hard teaching, he said, "Lord, where would we go? Mm-hmm. You have the words of eternal life. You mm-hmm. where will we go?" And that's kind of where I look. Like, listen, like, where else am I going to go? Like, I love him. He loves me. Like, there's a relationship here that I'm just fully committed to.
And because of, we're about to take a break, but because of your, I'm going to call it a little bit of, and I share some of this personality trait, but a little bit of the over the top personality. I just believe that God saw you and said, as he saw Peter, and as there's an opportunity for all of the listeners, but if we can get this guy lined up, we can change the world with his energy. And I think that's what's happening with you. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia. Albemarle High School Jazz Band is hosting their second annual Swing into Spring Benefit Concert on Sunday, March 10th at 7 p.m. at the Jefferson Theater. Proceeds support AHS Jazz Band and their upcoming jazz competition trip. Donations can also be made on the Jefferson Theater event ticketing page. On April 6th from 9 to 12 at Ix Art Park, it's the 6th annual Bow Wow Walk. Mark your calendars now and get ready for this amazing dog walk to benefit the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA. Join the shops at Stonefield for their annual Easter Egg Extravaganza on April 20th from 10 to 12, featuring an Easter egg hunt, portraits with the Easter Bunny, and a photo booth. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation, though you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program from the Robbie Zacharias International Ministries, my new friend Sean Hart. Sean, I want to switch gears a little bit. By the way, your testimony was amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Let's go into why Jesus. If you would touch down, I heard you speak on that this week. If any of our listeners are sort of toying with, well, you know, this religion or this path or this way, how do you answer why Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, this only go through so much of it, obviously, in this amount of time. But I mean, I think if I look at the person of Jesus, no one has lived a life like Jesus. The amount, I mean, if you look in like three areas of his influence, his teaching, and his character, those are three areas that, I mean, no one has had the influence that Jesus has had. I mean, most of us, unfortunately, as sad as this is, a lot of us will pass away and a few hundred years will go by and we will fade into the distance, even if we do something quite great. Yet Jesus continues to inspire multitudes to pick up their cross, to count their life as loss and follow him. And you heard me talk about a quote that from Napoleon Bonaparte, even here, he says after 18 centuries, people would still run through fire and flame for him. And yet as a leader himself, he was able to inspire people, but he had to be present. He acknowledges, I had to be present to get people to obey me, my soldiers, and they would. But Jesus, by some mysterious influence, continues to have people 18 centuries later, and now here we are 2019, continue to say, my life is not worth anything compared to the life that has been given, because when you actually acknowledge what you've received from Jesus, in new life, in acceptance, in your debt, your forgiveness, and any shame, guilt, all that being taken away by what he's done on the cross, you realize that you have been given a great gift that you didn't do much for. And when you receive that gift, it changes everything. So there's the unique influence of him, his teaching. No one spoke like he did and taught like he did. You know, in the back in those days, rabbis would quote other rabbis. They would quote the Old Testament scriptures. But he says, you know, you've heard it said, but I say to you. He makes himself an authority over that text. And so he teaches with a particular authority that people, you read this in the scriptures, where people say, who is this man who speaks with such authority? And it's not the type of authority we think. He just makes his voice low, an octave lower, and a boom, and a big boom. You know, it's the fact that he takes this Old Testament scripture that they say is God's word, and he says this about it. Like, he can actually do this? Well, he's saying he can. So sometimes my Muslim friends will say, well, the Bible never says that it never says he's God. It never says I am God. I'm like, well, you're asking God. I love Abdu Murray, one of my colleagues. He says, you're asking God to define himself by your rules. If you need the words, I am God. There's plenty of times where the Pharisees picked up stones to stone him. And he says, why do you pick up stones to stone me? And they say, because you, being mere man, make yourself equal with God. they completely understood. When you read in the context, you get to understand everyone knew what he was saying about himself. Who are you to forgive sins? Well, who can only forgive sins? It's God. Well, he's saying he forgives them. So all of these things, the way he taught, and then his character. I think we live in, I don't know if this is different in all of history. I think everyone could have said this at any time in history, but where we're at currently, we live in a time where it's hard to find a leader that we think is worth following, mm-hmm. that we think we can actually trust. That's why when you find a leader you can trust, you want to cling to them. And I'm saying Jesus not only taught hard things, but he did them. It's one thing to tell a bunch of people to go die. It's one thing to tell a bunch of people to go forgive those who persecute you. I mean, that's what he says. He says that we need to forgive, pray for those who persecute us. In the midst of getting nails put in his hands, spit on, mocked, my response is not what Jesus's was. I would hope it would be, but I just know I'm so short of who he is. I fall so short of who he is. Yet when he's getting spit on and killed, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's a man I can follow. And then he claims to be a God. That's a God I can follow. That God man, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I see that. And then I could get into some of the other religions too, if you want me to go there.
Yeah, let's touch on that. Yeah. What makes Christianity unique in that sense?
Yeah, well, it's the only one that actually offers a relationship with God. So we can sometimes get ourselves in a bit mixed up by not knowing enough about what other religions teach and saying something like, well, they're all paths that lead up the same mountain. All other religions don't even claim to be paths that lead up to God. So to say, oh, everyone of every belief will get to God. Well, Buddhists actually don't. There's a certain form of Buddhism, I think it's Mahayana Buddhism, I think it is, that has some conception of a deity. But most of it's just a philosophy, and it's the Eightfold Path, and then you reach Nirvana, which is actually it's more of a state that you go into. You get out of the reincarnation cycle. So it doesn't claim to get you to God. Hinduism says you are part of God. Actually, there's a divinity in you, and you're just ignorant. Our problem is that we're ignorant to it. We need to awaken ourselves, enlighten ourselves, and then when we actually do that through the proper practice of yoga, we then become part of that Brahman. We are kind of absorbed into that ultimate reality, which is divine. So again, no one can really come back to tell you about that one either. Within Islam, that would be the closest one that people would say, there's a God. And then you, at the end of your life, you're able to weigh your good deeds and your bad deeds. And depending on which one, then you get to go to either heaven or hell, one of the two. But my Muslim friends will actually agree with me and they say, Allah's not there. I actually found that out from a Muslim educating me on Islam when I lived among a Muslim people group. I was like, I would talk about the conception of paradise as if God's there. And oh no, Allah's not there. So to say Muslims go to be with God too at the end of their lives, even if they're able to get their scale to tip in their balance, which I say is good luck, because Allah even judges the intentions of the heart. I think we're all done from that one. And then we see Christianity is the one unique one that says not only, it's not like many paths lead up a mountain. It says God came down to the mountain, bushwhacked a trail down through, made a way that we can then come to him. And he actually brought us up and rescued us when we're just broken ankle on the side of the road. And we can't do anything. We can't make it up the mountain. We are broken, distant, and rebellious people, distant from God, and he rescues us. He actually pays the price for us. He takes the penalty that we should have paid and gives us, resurrects from the dead, gives us hope for the future. The one religion that says, okay, I'm going to die, then I'm going to come back, actually does it. I mean, that's right there is amazing. So the uniqueness is no one else offers what Christianity offers. And I love what, I think it's David Gooding who says, how can it be arrogant or exclusive to receive from Christ what no one else offers? No one's claiming to pay for our sins. Mm. No other religion is claiming to get us to God. Mm. So it's okay if people say, well, that seems like an exclusive thing to say, that your way is the only way. It's like, well, tell me of another way that actually claims to get me to God. And I'll take a look, but Christianity is unique in that it's the one place we actually are offered a relationship with God.
Let me ask you a question again. This is Everyday Faith Radio, and our guest today is Sean Hart with the Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. Sean, you mentioned that God comes down and rescues us. You said that several times in the uniqueness of Christianity.
Yeah.
That God rescues us.
Yeah.
What would you say to one of our listeners who just happened to turn the radio to this station, total happenstance right now, and they feel like they need to be rescued? Their life is sort of been quote unquote shipwrecked. They don't know what to do. And they want to experience this rescue. What does Sean Hart say to them? What message would you have to them today?
Mm-hmm. I guess I'd have to use Jesus' words. And he says, come to me, all who are burdened, heavy laden. I will give you rest. He calls to everyone. And that's not just the person. Like if someone out there is listening and they are in that state that you're talking about, like it's never too late. And two, you can't do anything and screw up too big. I mean, I just shared a hint of my story. There's a lot more to it. You can't do anything that will actually take you out of the ability to receive this gift. It is just a gift. And the gift kind of stands out there. If I put a present out under the tree for my kids, they can examine it all they want. They can look at it. They can analyze it. They can learn about it. But they don't actually get to hold it. It's not theirs until they actually take a hold of it, make it their own. They receive it. Mm. And that's what Christianity is saying. It's like if you're on the edge there, then you need to just receive it and say, like, God, I'm sorry that I know I probably screwed up my own life. But like, and I hear this message that you've come to rescue me. I need rescuing. Will you rescue me? And it's easy as that. And then you have to find, find a church community, get involved somewhere. Cause God has given us a family. That's one of the greatest gifts for me as becoming a Christian is the prayer in community. I thought prayer was a little bit weird. I'll be honest. Like becoming a Christian, I was like, this is kind of weird talking out loud. But man, it's such a gift. I love that I can join with fellow believers and pray, like, and to worship, and even to the person who doesn't feel like they need rescue. If they're not a relationship with God, whatever they're trusting in will fail. Their intellect will fail. We get rusty. Their wealth can go away at any time. I talked to an NFL player on a plane one time, and I said, how do you deal with it? He's like, I know the days that I can go on social media and the days I can't because the pressure is too big. I'm everybody's savior. When I succeed, I'm the biggest failure. I'm everybody's worst enemy when I fail. That's not how God views us. God says, I want you. I've offered myself to you. Will you receive me?
That's good stuff. Sean Hart, again, this is Everyday Faith Radio, and we are winding up the show, and want to thank you all for tuning in. I want to also invite you. Last week we had Michael Ramsden on the program, also with the Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, just an incredible speaker, and it was terrific to spend time. Sean, want to close out the program. I want to pray for you and your family.
Thank you.
All of our listeners, Joe Thomas in the studio, my mother who listens every Sunday faithfully. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Again, our website is everydayfaithradio.com. Please come back and visit. And if you have any prayer requests, please leave them on the website. Again, if you are in need of rescue, just do what Sean said. Cry out to the Lord. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next week. Sean, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
It's like having a Fox News app right there in your dashboard. Seville 107.5 and AM 1260 WCHB AM and FM Charlottesville.
WCHB time 10 o'clock. I'm Tim Dotson with your WCHB local news first, your top story. Today is being celebrated as Liberation and Freedom Day in the local area. The day commemorates the emancipation of 14,000 enslaved people in Charlottesville and Albemarle County when the Union cavalry arrived toward the end of the Civil War in March 1865. The University of Virginia's Office for Diversity and Equity and chaplains with UVA United Ministries are holding a service in the Rotunda Dome Room at 3 p.m. today. There will also be a blessing ceremony at the site of UVA's Memorial to Enslaved Laborers, which is under construction. And a state board dealing with water protection stopped a process